Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
In a white room with black curtains, near the station.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our poll question on the homepage every week. We ask you a different question. When you give us your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll is going so far. So check it out there. All that in the blog and the archives and the articles, et cetera, at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including a body of work, an outstanding body of work that Leslie Kossoff has deposited with us over the last 10 plus years that she's been with us. So many things that she's taught us over the years that I encourage you to go back and listen to if you haven't already, and lots of writing, lots of things that she's written that she's allowed us to publish on our website, and we appreciate that very much. Leslie is with us right now. She is the author of The Executive Field Guide, which I encourage you to check out. You can do that at Kossoff.com, two S's and two F's. Leslie, and by the way, Leslie's joining us from Paris, France. Leslie, one of the things that, as you know, I've been talking a lot about is the evolving and morphing relationship that businesses have with customers. It's becoming more granular. It's becoming more personal. It's becoming more a part of more community driven rather than marketing driven, and that places an extra level of importance on our reputation, doesn't it?
It does, because it's no longer possible for an organization to completely control its reputation, because there are so many more voices that are feeding into it than ever existed before. It used to be that we could pretty well control the way that we were seen based on the way that we presented ourselves. But now, mostly because of the internet and the individuality of that, and as you say, the granularity of that, you have these communities that form, and they're marvelously matrixed. And so you can belong to any number of different communities, which means that any one individual has the potential to impact your reputation mm-hmm. in any number of different venues, using any number of surveys on a website or star rating systems or a comment to a blog or even a comment in response to a newspaper article that they read. And so as a result of that, as you look at your reputation, you have to recognize it now very much differently from the way that you did before, because your reputation is not what you want to present. Your reputation is now very clearly how you are seen, how you are perceived. Mm-hmm. But the good news about it is that you control that based on how well you perform.
And that's something, you know, when we think about reputation, you know, typically, at least people in my generation, Leslie, we think about our mothers talking about our reputation and how we, mm-hmm. who we hang out with and how we dress and you know, our manners and things like that. And that's what we think about a lot of times when we think about reputation. But one of the things that I like to talk about with businesses that is a very much a part of your reputation, and that is the values that your company is known for. What are the values of your company? And that's kind of what you were getting at a minute ago. And I'd like for you to – can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Absolutely. And this is an incredibly important focus for any organization. And unfortunately, the problem is there's a tendency to just sort of blow over it the way that many larger organizations do in saying what their mission statement or their vision statement is. You know, it's just mission, vision, values. And you get it up on a board, you know, a pretty poster, frame it, and walk away. Values are what drive your organization. They drive how you manage, how you treat your employees, how then your employees treat customers and suppliers, and then ultimately what your reputation is. So if you have a value of honesty and integrity and involvement and respect and reciprocity and commitment, and those are the kinds of values that you're operating to, that's exactly the way that you're going to be seen, because your internal systems will be designed around those values, which means they will be managed and measured both directly and indirectly, and as a result, it's all your customers will ever see, and they will be getting all of the value benefit from it.
And here's what they'll be saying. They'll be saying, you know what? I did business with this company, and the first thing that happened was what I bought from them broke, and I took it back, and the first person I spoke with immediately took care of me and fixed it and made it go away, and now I'm happy. I mean, and they'll be telling their friends, they'll be writing about this, as you said earlier, they'll be tweeting about it or blogging about it, and what they're talking about is not that you were perfect, which nobody is, but that when something happened, you fixed it, and you didn't have to argue with anybody. They didn't have to get permission. The values of that company were, if a customer has a problem, we fix it on the spot. Now, that's an example of your values. What do you think, Leslie?
Absolutely correct. And again, in terms of the return on investment of having a policy that simple in place. And all you have to do is set, if you're concerned about it, depending on the type of organization you are, the expertise and longevity of the employees that are involved in those kinds of interactions, it may be that you set a budget limit on it. You know, anything up to such and such dollars, you make the decision, whatever you decide is okay with us. And if it's, you know, exponentially more, fine. You know, let me get a quick decision on this. I'll be right back. And you get immediately.
Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm going to let Leslie talk some more about this and how this ties into the quality process of your business after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Leslie Kossoff. Leslie, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you and find your executive field guides.
The website is kossoff.com, K-O-S-S like Sam, O-S-S like Frank.com. And if you put a / small business advocate immediately afterwards, you'll come to the special page that I have put together for your listeners, Jim, the executive field guide on it at a 1/3 discount off of the regular price.
Thank you for that. We appreciate the discount. We always do. Folks, take advantage of that. Check that out. Kossoff.com/smallbusinessadvocate or email her and tell her that you're interested in, you know, you can click on, they can email you from the site there. If you forget all that, you can just tell her that you heard her. About her from me, and I really encourage you to do this, folks. If you would like to know how to become more of a CEO and less of just somebody who's always in the trenches, if you'd like to get your head out of the trenches and get up into a little bit of a higher orbit with your thinking, so you can have a little vision, develop a little strategy, and not always be executing. And Leslie, this doesn't mean that you're saying that you want to grow to be some big company. You don't have to do that. But you really aren't going to be able to, in my opinion, to really kind of look around you and say, okay, I'm glad I've done this, until you can actually get yourself out of the trenches. What do you think?
Absolutely correct. And there really is nothing that says that you have to become a large organization or that you want to. And look, there's always the option, if you really want to and don't want to do all of the legwork on your own, to set yourself up as an acquisition target for a large organization that needs what you have to offer. There are all sorts of ways if you want to become part of big. But as a small business owner, the wonderful thing is that you have the immediacy of seeing what you have created, executed, manifest, and people benefiting from it in a way that in a larger setting you don't have. But that's also why it's important to get your head out of the full-blown
right.
execution all the time, so that you can see and what you've created and also see what other options and opportunities are out there. And that's what you're there for.
What we're talking about, folks, is you running your business instead of your business running you. Now, think about it, folks. Let's be honest. If not every day, at least part of your day, part of your week, part of your month, part of your year, you get the feeling some days we all do that our business is running us. We're not running it. Well, the idea behind what we're talking about and includes developing the values that we were talking about in the previous segment, Leslie. The more you can think of yourself, the more you can get your head into the executive thinking mode and less in the execution mode. Not that you don't ever execute, but that you just you don't spend all your time in the execution mode. The more you can do that, the more you can work, you can run your business instead of having it run you. And this comes back to the reputation thing, Leslie. Your reputation is out there. It's going to be out there. People are going to be talking about you and your business. The question is, how much influence can you have over that? And you do have influence. You can't determine who says what, but you can determine how they feel about you by the way you do business with them and the values that you project.
Absolutely correct. And that necessitates you not allowing your business to run you, at least for a little while, and stepping back to take a really good, hard, objective look at how your organization is operating and how it's perceived. And that's the tie-in of reputation and quality system. The more that you focus, and Jim, over the years, you and I have talked about this, and you have the best example of anyone I've ever met, the difference between quality service and quality product is that quality service comes after the fact. It means you made a mistake and you have to pay for it. Quality product means that you've created something the right way the first time, and that means that your customer is satisfied and you've got higher profits.
Exactly.
That's the quality system. That's what it
and you can and but I think a lot of people don't think about that being associated with their reputation. Folks, that's what we want you to get from today's conversation is that you can apply the quality process to the image you project, to the values you demonstrate to customers, which becomes your reputation when people talk about you. And today they are talking about you and they're writing about you online. Leslie, I've got to wrap it up. Kossoff2s2fs.com is the website. Find her executive field guides there, which are outstanding. Leslie, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Leslie Kossoff, all the way from Paris, France. Always great to visit with her. She'll be back. I will be too, but not today. It'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for being with me. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.